flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
And just like that, we hit the fourth and final of the Money Hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate.
I don't know how you do it, man. Gloating is hard work. And I just don't usually do that. And it's taxing. I'd rather sit over and troll in my own way about what I'm wearing or something. But I'm usually not the gloater. I'm not. So I don't.
Okay. First off, that ain't true.
It's absolutely true.
You talk about how good you are all the time.
Oh yeah, name one.
Every time that I say three time and you hold the three up real fast.
By the way, first of all, inaccurate because I would hold these three up.
Okay, whatever
like three. Because the three you held up was kind of weird.
However.
And I don't do that. When do I hold the three up? For what?
Every time I say three time, SEBA sports broadcast.
Yeah, I'm just doing Booker T. That's not me gloating.
Doing it's doing it, baby. Fourth hour of the show starts now. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. The final hour of the show, because I am nothing if not a kind and benevolent host, I gift to you. It is an Armada Takeover Hour here on the show. You dictate the topics. You dictate what we're going to get to and what we're going to talk about through the final 60 of the show. We've already got a few texts and messages that have been sent in, and we're going to address those. We will start with the text line. Texter said, Rob, you are brave giving this audience control of the conversation. Anyway, Clemson basketball would get everyone's attention with a big win over Duke. But even if they don't, this team can make a run at the ACC championship. That is from Spartanburg Jay. Jay, good to hear from you, buddy. Welcome back to the fold. Glad to have you in the Armada. Listen, I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, I think that this Clemson team is sneaky good. I think they're flying under the radar. And I, in that last segment with John Blau, I kind of gave my reasoning why. There has been a shift in the balance of power in college basketball. You don't have to like it, but it's true. Everything that the ACC used to be in basketball, the SEC is now. It is a deep conference. It is a dominant conference. And unlike in football, where you could for years make the argument that, of course, the SEC looks strong in football. It's because they keep saying they are strong and they don't play anybody outside of the conference to be able to prove that they're not. In college basketball, the ACC, or excuse me, the SEC is dominating everybody. You heard John Blau bring up the ACC-SEC challenge. That is a well-balanced two-conference showdown. And the SEC kicked the ACC's butt left, right, front, back, up, and down. They are a dominant conference, and that is, at this point, empirically provable just by who they've played when, where, and how much they've won by over and over. The ACC has lost a, I don't know if it's fair to say, but I'll say it anyway, decades-long stranglehold that it had on college basketball. It is now, in terms of national recognition, Duke, which has national recognition for two reasons. Number one, because they were the college basketball program for as long as they were. And number two, because Flagg is everything he's been made out to be. The guy is an every position on the floor baller. So they've got their dude that makes them stand out. And as branding is everything in the year 2025, they are writing decades worth of branding to that. Clemson's right there in the back pocket. They're right there in the back pocket and hanging with them. The biggest problem I think that Clemson has in terms of gaining national prominence, and I know a lot of people are leaning on, and I think it's fair to do so, and it is a football mentality that I acknowledge has some weight in basketball, this whole thing of Clemson's not getting recognized nationally. They've been hanging out around, you know, 26th to 30th throughout most of the year. They may or may not just crack the top 25. And I do think it is important to acknowledge that they are a four-loss team right now. A lot of the teams that are up towards the top of the college basketball rankings right now aren't, right? I'm looking at Auburn, who was last week's consensus number one. They're 18-1. I'm looking at Duke, who was last week's damn near consensus number two. They are 17-2. Iowa State last week was at number three as we wait for our AP to two losses, right? Clemson has four losses, but that is twice the number of losses as everybody else inside the top five. That's why they've been hanging out at that 25-26 spot. I expect Clemson is going to begin probably this week, start to slowly rise up the rankings 1 week at a time. But the other issue they have is the fact that the ACC does not have the brand superiority that it has had in years gone by. And so you are a four-loss basketball team inside of what is probably the third or fourth best conference in college basketball. And it has created a world in which your four-loss schedule just does not have the weight that it would have had in years gone by in the ACC. And that's unfortunately part of the reality of where Clemson is right now. And we can talk a lot about it. I do believe that it has a lot to do with what is happening in the football landscape, because as much as we have talked about the fact that the conference realignment and NIL and portal and all that is a conversation that impacts football the most, it absolutely has an impact on basketball, a massive impact on basketball. And that is part of the reason why I absolutely believe that Florida State and Clemson both went out of the ACC. Part of that impact is being felt on the basketball floor. The ACC is dragging down Clemson basketball, and what Brad Brunell has very clearly shown by last year's run in the tournament built up into being something very impressive. So I agree with Jay on that. You go take down two more wins on the road, and you knock back Duke in the middle of that home stretch, and you will skyrocket. But that Duke team's real good. That Duke team's real good. Texter said, Brian from Easley said, congratulations on the Chiefs and to Lonzo on his team making another Super Bowl. Texter said, Rob, I wanted to see a Super Bowl virgin deflowered, but since that can't happen, I'm going opposite. Let's see Mahomes get a three-peat, one step closer to Brady. That's from UNC Chris.
Well, actually, that would put him above Brady, at least in one category, because Brady was never able, nor has anyone ever been able to win three in a row.
Say, that wouldn't put him above Brady. That'd put him above, in the history books,
everyone,
anybody else. He would have a badge on the chest that literally no other quarterback in history has with three-peating. But again, and
so far, because it can be done again by somebody else eventually in the future.
But I have said, and I'll continue to say, yes, Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever had the pleasure of watching. There is no argument with that. You can make all the complaints that you want about, well, you know, he gets calls and all that. Here's the thing. Do you know why? If you believe that is true, why he gets those calls? Because he is a iconic superstar. Those are called superstar calls. You don't get those if you're an everyday quarterback, if you believe he's getting them. I do, but I also don't care. Because Mahomes is just getting the treatment Brady got. He's getting the treatment Manning got. He's getting the treatment every superstar quarterback of the modern era has gotten, and he's just leaning into it. It's gamesmanship. I'm not mad about it. What I am going to say ultimately is that Patrick Mahomes is a legendary quarterback, and yet, on top of that, he is being coached by Andy Reid, a guy that I think at this point has entered himself into the discussion of the greatest to ever carry a Waffle House menu-style play calling card on the sideline.
Just the Super Bowl alone. He is the greatest winning coach for both teams going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Andy Reid is doing what so many other coaches at every level of football fail to do, which is recognizing what the strengths of everybody are, not just your signal caller. One of the reasons that I'm actually a little bit apprehensive about for the Philadelphia Eagles coming into this Super Bowl is that, and I've asked this question enough that I'm blue in the face, but I'll ask it again because I think it's a fair question. Going into this season, I said repeatedly, I think the Eagles are in trouble if they don't make a move with Nick Sirianni at head coach. Yet here he is going to coach his second Super Bowl in 3 years. But my question mark is, are the Eagles here because Nick Sirianni knows what he's doing, or are the Eagles here because when in doubt, Barkley it out? Which, fair, right? But fair. But my question is this, if Kansas City...
Yeah, the only team who wouldn't do that are the New York Giants.
Yeah, for sure. That's why the Giants are a poverty franchise, Chris. Chris Lewis. That's why they're a poverty franchise. I was like speaking directly to him. He gets it, though. He gets it. They're a poverty franchise because they make decisions. Sirianni hands it to Barkley, but here is my question, and it leads to another comment that we got during the break leading up to this hour in Armada takeover. Whatever you want to talk about, it's yours to talk about. All you got to do is call us at 844-326-3663 or text it to the text line at that same number, 844-326-3663. If the Chiefs, and nobody's been able to, so I'm not saying that they are going to do this. I'm saying they will try to do this. If the Chiefs take advantage of the incredible defensive line that they have built, and again, they still have to be able to overcome a very good Eagles offensive line. But if the Chiefs are able to stop Saquon Barkley, do you trust that Nick Sirianni is going to know enough about the rest of the offense and what their strengths are to go toe-to-toe with Andy Reid in his offense? And the answer to me is no. This is why I've said, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm going to throw everybody I have at Saquon Barkley, and I'm going to say, you know what? We are going to sell out. We are going to actually give you weak spots on the opposite side of the field in order to stop Saquon Barkley, or at least try our damnedest to do so. Because we're going to make you beat us elsewhere. We're going to make you beat us elsewhere. And we are going to make sure that your head coach understands his offense enough that when we take away his favorite shiny toy, he's going to be able to make up for it elsewhere. Do you trust Nick Sirianni in that spot? And the answer to me is no. That is the primo reason I'm taking the Chiefs in the Super Bowl today. We got 13 days. I might change my mind. But today I'm taking the Chiefs in the Super Bowl to three-peat, because if it comes down to it, and it comes down to, does Sirianni really genuinely understand the best way to take advantage of the strengths he has on that offensive side of the football, Kenny? My answer is no. That's why, to me, the Eagles collapsed last year. And that is why, to me, if the Eagles did not get an absolute gift in the form of Saquon Barkley from the Giants this offseason, I don't think they'd be where they are. That's not faulting for them for riding Saquon Barkley to the NFC title. That's what they should have done. What I am saying is, without him, I don't think that this team is where they are, right? And that leads us to the next comment we got. Let's see. Con for P. Chester hit me up on the Facebook Rob Brown Show page and said, why does the media hate Jalen Hurts and the Eagles so much? Why can't they accept Jalen Hurts is a winner? Last week, two quarterbacks, Mahomes and Allen, same stats, but yet the media doesn't say a word about those passing yards, except they got the W. Here's why I think. I don't know that it is media hate. Here's what I think is happening with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a guy that I think is the type of quarterback who does not stand out as remarkable at any one thing, right? Is Jalen Hurts one of the best five pass throwers in the NFL? I would say no. Is he one of the best five runners in the NFL? I would say no. Jalen Hurts, to me, does not, as a quarterback, stand out in any one element of the game. There's not one thing he does better than everybody else.
Tush push.
The tush push, sure. And I will say this, and you saw this last night with Buffalo. A lot of folks have asked, like, why is the tush push so successful for the Philadelphia Eagles and nobody else seems to be able to replicate it? And yes, the answer to that is Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. Jalen Hurts has figured out what he needs to do in that play to make that play successful and repeatedly successful. And the answer to this is, and I talked about this back in the first hour, I'll talk about it here in the last. If you've got the time and the effort and you really want to learn why that play is successful, I learned I read this offseason that, like, some NFL teams were bringing in, because it's a rugby scrum is what it is, right? Like, it's the NFL's version of a rugby scrum. And so some teams were bringing in, like, rugby coaches to try to figure out, to try to learn how to do a scrum in a way that they could be successful with the tush push the way that the Eagles are. To me, there's nothing that's overly complicated about it. The reason it works is because of Jalen Hurts. Watch an overhead view of the tush push, and you are going to, and watch it in slow motion, and you are going to see what it is that Jalen Hurts does that makes this play so successful, because it's not that complicated. When Jalen Hurts runs the tush push, you're going to see him do two things immediately. Number one is you are going to see him drop to the flow, all right? He's like a chick in the early 2000s when Juvenile came on the radio. Gonna get low, 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 low. That's Flo Rida, but you get my point. He gonna drop it to the flow. And what he does is the head stays up, but the body stays down. He puts his face mask right betwixt the booty cheeks of the center ahead of him, and he trusts the O-line to do their job. Their job is to win leverage, to get low, and to create, at the very least, a stalemate between the two lines. And once he drops, once that face mask goes into the booty cheeks of his center, and he drops, he gets all the way down to the floor, and he disappears, because they have two running backs. And watch those two running backs, too. This is also something I've picked up on. One running back, Lonzo, puts the shoulder pad into the thigh of Jalen Hurts low. The other puts the hands onto his shoulder pads, and they just start driving him with 2 points of leverage. Not one. 2 points of leverage.
He's a figure skater.
Yes.
That's how I was thinking of this earlier. He's a, you know, a figure skater, when they're being lifted, or a cheerleader, when they're being lifted, they go keeps your body completely stiff.
Yep.
That's what he's doing.
He gets low. He creates a flat plane. The only place that he has vertical targeting is behind him, right? And so he has one player that grabs him by the shoulder pads and throws him forward, one who grabs him by the ass and pushes him forward, and now you've won the stalemate because it's a stalemate at the line, and I got two running backs pushing Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts squats like a billion pounds. He doesn't do any one thing spectacularly, but he does everything good enough, and he takes advantage of all the strengths that the offense has around him. He doesn't stand out. And he doesn't need to, because the Eagles have figured out how to win with a quarterback who does not stand out. And they just keep winning. So, Confer, hope that answers your question. 844-326-3663, or call us on that same number. Whatever you want to talk about, the last hours in our Armada takeover, we continue your conversation when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great Milanzo, 844-326-3663 is the call-in and the text line number. This hour in Armada Takeover, whatever you want to get to on the show today, this hour is your hour to do it. Obviously, as the week progresses, we are going to have a lot more breakdown of the AFC and NFC championship games. We are obviously going to get our first early looks at the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. Kansas City taking on Philadelphia for the Lombardi this year. We're going to be breaking that down extensively. We are also this week going to be shifting over into our basketball season coverage as college basketball is hot and heavy right now, getting into the meat and taters of the conference schedules around America. Got some teams that are starting to separate themselves from the pack a little bit. We're going to be talking some college basketball. Yeah, buddy, we're going to get a little hockey in here too. Not all that much. Relax. Stay tuned. All right. Talk some NHL hockey in here as well. But whatever you want to get to in this hour of the show is up to you. 844-326-3663 is the number. You can shoot us a text at that same number, 844-326-3663. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one at Lonzo on Word. You can tweet everybody in the station at the Fan Upstate. However you want to attack it, it is up to you. Texter said, hot take. Josh Allen played bad last night and was lucky he didn't have 3+ turnovers. That's from our boy Shane. Shane, good to hear from you this morning. Thank you, buddy. Listen, Josh Allen, and again, it depends on what you consider valuable. As far as statistically, Josh Allen had reasonably comparative statistics to what Patrick Mahomes had in this win. They were comparable. 237 yards passing for one, 245 for Mahomes. Two passing touchdowns for Josh Allen, one for Patrick Mahomes. In fact, I would even argue those two passing touchdowns were two of the better plays that were made all night. I'm going to tell you Shane, in my opinion, the reason that Josh Allen had the probably should have been turnovers that he had was because of Kansas City. I think a lot of people are wanting to pile this on Josh Allen. And I think, again, like Josh Allen to me, just about every number that he had was comparable to Mahomes. Mahomes ran 11 times for 43 yards. Allen ran 11 times for 39 yards. To me, there were two things that won this game for Kansas City. And these are both compliments to KC. Kansas City won this game, number one, because the defensive line that they have built was just a wrecking ball last night. Steve Spagnuolo knew that this was a strength against a Buffalo weakness, and he took full bleeping advantage of it all night long. Kansas City's defensive line did not let Buffalo do anything they wanted. And then that led to the second thing that I think won this game for Kansas City. They, once again, just coach circles around Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, just coach circles around them. Once they recognized that Kansas City's defensive front seven was going to have Buffalo on their heels all night long, what did they do? They just played to that. They play called to it. They allowed their guys up front to play free. They opened the playbook to allow them to play a more fluid style of football. And then it caused the Buffalo coaching staff to clam up. If I asked you to use one adjective to describe Buffalo's offense in the second half of that game, I don't know what adjective you used, but I tell you which one I'd use: conservative, to the point of fear. To the point of fear, right? They played conservative to the point that, to me, I was watching this game going, they are scared of Kansas City. And I get why. Kansas City lived in the backfield. Josh Allen was getting swallowed up every play. Yeah, he should have had probably two more turnovers. He probably also should have been sacked about five more times.
They covered up their weakness, and their weakness yesterday may not be all the time, but it was Josh Allen. I know you don't want to, you run the ball a whole lot because you're afraid to let your quarterback throw the ball. Maybe because he can't, because he's being hampered by, you know, defenders being in his face all the time. But that's what they did. And then when they had to count on him to win the game, he didn't. But it isn't like it's a blowout. It was a tied game. Kansas City won by three.
Buffalo had every ability to win that game
if they kept running the ball. But Kansas City was able to stop the run. Once they stopped the run, and did they completely stop it? No. Here's the other unstoppable thing yesterday was Kansas City's offense. They drove down the field every time. There would have been another touchdown or field goal on the scoreboard if Mahomes hadn't fumbled that handoff. Did they ever? I mean, would they go three and out maybe once or twice? Kansas City marched down the field every single time they had the ball, just about.
So I will say this. I didn't make a lot of bets this weekend. I didn't have the time, but I didn't make a lot of bets this weekend.
With all that spare change you got, making any bets?
I'm just letting my Jalen Daniels Offensive Rookie of the Year bet ride right now. All right? No matter what I do, I'm winning money this year. I didn't make a lot of bets. One of the very few that I did, and one of the few that I told everybody to make, that game's over-under total was 47.5. I was like, yo, dog, come on. It might be 47 at the end of the third period. And it was. That, to me, was one of the easier bets of the weekend. It's actually one of, I think I made two this weekend, and that was one of them.
Sometimes you look at X or Facebook or some other social media post, and you realize that poetry, this is where poetry lives. I just want to read a post really quick, and then I'll be quiet, because people are talking about my ego, so I wouldn't want them to be wrong. According to Cam #8, which is his moniker on X, Josh Allen is just a character in Patrick Mahomes' future documentary. Everybody got a role to play. And that's exactly what he is.
Listen, so the word of this show, not this show today, I mean the Rob Brown Show forever and always.
Wait, I thought this was the Rod Brown Show.
The Hot Rod Brown Show. the word that I have probably used on the air more than any other word in the history of my broadcasting career. And I use it because I think it is something that is lacking in just sports broadcasting as a whole, is nuance. There is nuance to every conversation. And that is something I personally, just me, it's up to you, feel is lacking. I feel like we as sports broadcasters, but not me as a sports broadcaster, try to turn every conversation into black and white, left or right, up or down. There is no...
Here I thought Shut Up Lonzo was your thing that you said more than anything.
I mean, that's only when you make fat jokes, all right? I don't tell you shut up until you make a fat joke. I think nuance in context is lost for a lot of people. And I understand why, and it's going to sound awful, and I don't care. It is because, by and large, the American public doesn't like to think. They don't. We don't want to think. And I understand it. There is so much crap in the world constantly barraging us that the ability to just sit back and enjoy life for a few minutes is a fading art. All right?
Way to go, you. Finally, you're around to my way of thinking. That's what I've been saying all last week and all this week, and you just completely agree with me. They don't like to think. That's why it's all about the refs. That's exactly, you just proved that point perfectly. Thank you.
The ability to just sit back and relax and enjoy life is a fading art. And that, and for the record, I don't blame people who don't want to think. I had a discussion with the wife not terribly long ago, because it was a nighttime and Rob wanted to go out, and I wanted to go find some music or something. She's like, I want to take off my pants and sit on the couch and do nothing for like 3 hours. And I'm like, why? And she goes, because I just want to turn my brain off. That's her phrase. I just want to turn my brain off, right? And we all do that in different ways. I turn my brain off by being in large groups of people where I don't have to focus the conversation through me. Every job that I have, I come in here, I talk for 4 hours. I go to sports contests, I grab a mic, I talk for hours. Everything I do, I try to create environment and electricity around me. So to turn my brain off, I like to go other places where other people and things are the center of attention and be a part of the crowd, not be like the focus of it, right? She's the opposite. Every job she has, she is one of a big crowd who's like popping in ideas, but listening, but whatever. So when she gets the opportunity to relax, she wants to shut it down and not have to think or contribute anything. And I understand it. We all have different ways. Being able to just sit down and enjoy life is a lost art. And for many of us, no matter the way that we go about doing it, the ability to sit down and enjoy life is to be able to sit down and turn the brain off and not think, just enjoy. And sports, being the escape from real life that it is, that's where most of us who love sports, that's where we like to go to turn our brain off and not think. And that is why so many sports broadcasters take every issue and they turn it into one side or the other, so that you just get to pick a side and hammer home the points of that side, right? For the record, we do that in politics too, right? This is a country of vast opinions, yet we have boiled it down to you're either left or you're right. And it's kind of disappointing, but it prevents you from having to think too much. And that's hard to do when you've also got to consider, how am I going to pay this bill and that bill? How am I going to make sure my kids are where they need to be? How am I going to make sure I can afford my groceries? How am I going to make sure the next paycheck's good? Yada, 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 yada. When it comes to Josh Allen being a character, a side character in the Patrick Mahomes documentary, which right now, sure, he absolutely is. But if you think that these losses over and over to Patrick Mahomes are just because Josh Allen's not good enough, you are ignoring the context of the fact that I've been telling you for a year and a half, Sean McDermott ain't it. He can't beat Andy Reid. Why are we not talking about Sean McDermott as a head coach the way you talk about Josh Allen as a quarterback? Why do we not talk about the Bills front office and the fact that they keep getting fleeced by the Chiefs in the draft? We should be talking about that as much as we are talking about Josh Allen. We should be talking about all these other moving pieces that prevent the Bills from being in the Chiefs' atmosphere, but all we do is hammer Josh Allen count, Josh Allen, Josh Allen can't do it.
It goes both ways, because when they talk about the Chiefs, they talk about Patrick Mahomes, they talk about Travis Kelce, they rarely talk about Andy Reid.
Which is why, when we started this show, what's the first name I said deserves credit for that win yesterday? Steve Spagnuolo. That's the guy who won that game for the Chiefs yesterday. Not Mahomes, not Kelsey, not Kareem, not X. Steve Spagnuolo won you that game yesterday. Nuance matters. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. I'm going to tell you right now, the Kansas City Chiefs prove something that I have said for a very long time. It is absolutely, obviously important to have a great quarterback. It is obviously important to have good running backs, good defensive tackles, good wide receivers, good tight ends. It is obviously important to have a couple of elite playmakers around your roster. All of these things are obviously important to having a great football team. I do not think, scratch that, I know for a fact that you can no longer have a consistently dynamic football team in the National Football League without having great ownership, great general manager as well. You just have to. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, have owners who are invested in the franchise, but divested from the running of the football team. They don't come in there and go, hey, I own this team, and therefore I know as much as my GM or I know as much as my head coach. They get the hell out of the way. But they go, however, I'm going to make sure the program has the resources it needs to be successful. That's great. They have great GMs who have killed the draft lately. Again, Xavier Worthy, who killed the Bills last night, which, by the way, Zoe called, by the way. If I was going to make bets, I'd have bet all the Xavier Worthy prop bets because he said, hey, don't forget, Buffalo could have had Xavier Worthy, but they allowed the Chiefs to trade up and get him. Effectively passed on Xavier Worthy for like a 6-round draft pick. Is that the right play? And X came out and killed him. He could have been a Bills.
By the way, Xavier Worthy did not forget either.
No, and he showed out last night, right? So they've killed the draft. It is as important to have as good of a back office as you have front office and vice versa now in the NFL, and the teams that have moved on to the Super Bowl might be the two absolute best examples of that, and I think there's something to be said for it. This is why I have said you may absolutely point out that Josh Allen's just ain't in Patrick Mahomes' world right now, and you're not wrong for doing it. But if you simply boil it down to Josh can't beat Pat, you are simplifying a very complex set of circumstances. You have got to talk about
it's
the coach.
It's not incorrect, though.
I just said you're not wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
He
just can't beat him in the playoffs.
If your war cry is Josh can't be in Pat's world, so far, you are technically correct. However, if you boil it down to only Josh isn't only enough to get Pat, you're not talking about McDermott. You're not talking about the fact that the Bills are getting embarrassed in the draft by the Chiefs. You're not talking about the defensive side of the football being bad over and over. I don't know what
really,
to tell you.
Really, what you're not talking about is the rest of the NFL can't get past.
That's also
the
fair.
Chiefs. I mean, how many losses have they had in the last 6 or 7 years?
Everything, and I guess this is kind of it to me, everything that those of you that are texting or calling or tweeting or whatever about Josh Allen, it's true about every quarterback in the NFL right now. It's true about every quarterback in the NFL. None of them can get by the cat right now. And doesn't that tell you that it is about the entire organization, not just about your quarterback? You got to have a great one. But if that quarterback isn't backed up by a great organization, you're wasting him. I point to Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. All right, let me get Will in here before we end the show. Will, my guy, welcome back to the program, buddy. Good to have you.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Real good, pal. Real good.
So, this is random, but you said we could talk about anything.
Anything you want.
All right, you got Super Bowl coming up, and, I smoke a lot of Boston butts and ribs and stuff like that, and I just got into this with barbecue on a baked potato, and it sounds crazy, man. And like, I know there's some restaurants in Greenville that do it. They're like called Alabama baked potatoes or whatever, but you should definitely try it, man. I mean, it's basically a loaded baked potato with everything on it that you want, and then you put the barbecue on top of that and then drizzle it with barbecue sauce, and it is phenomenal.
By the way, we've been doing that for years in my house. My wife loves doing that, and it's amazing. It really is.
Okay, let me start by saying this, because it just happened to me on my work computer. Don't Google Alabama baked potato, Because the first thing that comes up is an Urban Dictionary definition of it.
Ooh.
NSFW. Ooh. Okay? Don't Google
should
Alabama.
Should I alert engineering for you?
No, I think it's fine because, again, happened on the show. I get the pass. But if you're at your office and you're listening, Will's being a bad influence on the kids. Don't Google it, okay?
Hey, don't do that to Will.
All good. No, I'm joking. I mean, I'm not joking. That is the first thing that comes up. But, like, that being said, I am super interested in this because it is one of those things that – it makes sense, but I've never thought of it before.
This is weird.
Well, I thought
that was a normal thing.
No. Here's the thing, and here's the reason why. And Will, hear me out on this, and then we'll get to the next part. Hear me out on this. I also am big into barbecue and grilling, smoking meat, whatever you want to call it. I'm also into that. However, my thought has always been this, and this may come across as a food snob take, and I'm willing to hear it. If you do the meat right, you smoke it right, you grill it right, barbecue, whatever you want to call it. If you treat your meat right, okay, this is very important, it should be so tasty and delectable that I don't want to soil it with plain. Listen, I love a baked potato. A load of baked potatoes are one of the great pleasures, underappreciated pleasures on planet Earth. But if you get your meat just right, if you treat your meat right, Will, I don't want it being touched by anything subpar, and I do real good at taking care of my own meat.
I hear you, man. I was the same way, but it's worth a try, and it's something that I'm telling you, it'll freak okay. you out how good it is.
All right, okay. I have a legitimate question other than I don't know what you just did. What kind of potatoes do you use, Will?
I use the Idaho Bay potatoes, the baking ones.
I mean, do you go try to find the really big ones?
You can, but I mean, it just depends on how much time you have, because the larger they are, the longer it takes to cook.
That's true.
That's fair, but yeah. I'm also going to say, no matter how long you're baking your potato, you should be spending more time on your meat than on your potato. All right?
If you're 13 to 17 hour smoke.
Yeah. Listen, if I'm going to go outside and treat my own meat good, I'm going to spend hours outside with my own meat.
Yeah. And we also trim all the fat off the bottom of the butts.
Yes.
And then we cook them in it. We smoke them in a pan with a little bit of Dale's browning seasoning.
Oh, big fan. Big fan of Dale's.
That's the way to go.
Big fan of Dale's. I completely agree. Will, appreciate it, buddy. Good call. Listen, this is going to be one of those things that I am going to be self-admittedly apprehensive about trying, but hope that Will's right. Okay? Well,
I just, again, Shane says his wife has been doing that for a while. Maybe it's a northern thing, because I think everybody I knew in Ohio did that. So maybe that's what it is.
It might be, like I said, my only take on it is going to be, and I acknowledge.
Here they'll say, well, we used pork or we used brisket.
No, it is regardless of what meat you are utilizing. If you are, unless you're just making like a steak, right? Steak you can get right on a grill relatively quick. But if I'm going above and beyond, if I'm doing a brisket or I'm doing a Boston butter, whatever I'm doing, that thing is going on in the morning and it ain't coming off to the night, okay? It is sitting and it is cooking for a very long time. And if I am putting that much effort into whatever meat I am cooking that day, if I am putting that much effort into it, then I'm not going to dim the taste of it down by putting a potato. Listen, I'm Irish. I love a potato. Loaded baked potatoes, like I said, one of life's greatest, easiest, and underappreciated flavors.
So what do you put your barbecue on then? Will you put it on rice? Will you put it on?
No.
So it's just straight up barbecue with not on anything.
Correct.
So not even a sandwich.
Correct. Now,
so you've never eaten a barbecue sandwich?
Wait, no. Hold on. If I am barbecuing for a barbecue, like if I'm making a barbecue sandwich, two things are happening. Number one, I'm not loading that barbecue sandwich up with a bunch of other stuff, right? I would rather somebody, like I will go to restaurants if I'm going to have barbecue and somebody goes, oh, you got to have their, you know, barbecue, whatever sandwich. If I'm going to do that, I would go, I like the barbecue sandwich, but I don't want it on bread. Just bring me the meat. Just put the meat on the plate. Just put the meat straight down. If you do barbecue correctly, if you barbecue well, you don't want any other taste in that meat. You just want the taste of said meat, right? Like, that's all. If you have something that good, I don't want to put it with something else that is subpar. I want it to stand out on its own. That's what great, not even good, great barbecue is about.
I just want to say, you know.
And I don't do anything but great barbecue.
Everyone's talking about my ego. That is the most snobbish thing said on the show today, was your barbecue take.
This is one of those things that I'm going to say.
It's the tone. It's the tone.
This is one of those times I'm going to go full heel and go, I don't give a damn. If you don't agree with me, you're wrong. All right. I haven't said that about your Josh Allen take today. I haven't said that about any of your other takes today. This is the one today I'm putting the foot down and saying, if you don't agree with me, one of two things has happened. Either you've yet to have truly great barbecue or you just have bad taste. We haven't had a barbecue conversation in a while.
He has spoken.
Yeah.
All right. Correctly,
by the way.
Okay, fine. If you say so. The first thing that's Xing is Joe Brady.
God bless America. Joe Brady is trending because the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, who I assume is absolutely and probably correctly being lambasted for the incredibly conservative, I would even say scaredy cat performance of the Buffalo Bills in the second half last night. That's why he's trending. Why he's trending for me is because the New Orleans Saints reached out to Joe Brady, interested in making him the next head coach of my beloved football franchise. He went through an interview and then immediately turned around and said, hey, you know what? Never mind. I'd rather stay with the Bills. Now, is that going to cost Joe Brady? I don't know, because I got to tell you, Joe Brady's HC stock took a dive after what happened last night in that game because everybody saw the Bills play timid in the second half. However, the Saints cannot be good for 2 to 3 more years minimum. I don't blame him. This is how bad we are, Zoe. I don't blame him for passing on the job to take over the Saints.
I was going to say, because I thought you were heading down the road that you were a gig. You know, you missed a chance, Joe Brady, to be a head coach.
We are so bad and are going to be so bad for a minute that even with the performance last night dinging his temperature as a head coaching candidate, he still made the right decision in passing on being the new kid, the new coach of my team.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is, believe it or not, Tony Romo.
Tony Romo is Xing because he was on the call last night for the AFC title game, and here's the thing. There's no more middle ground. You either love Tony Romo or you hate Tony Romo, and there is no middle ground. I am a big Tony Romo defender. Lonzo can't stand the guy.
All right, so according to how it is Xing, trending, however you want to say it, the haters win. People would rather some person even turns on the Spanish announced team and listens to the Spanish version of the call rather than listen to Tony Romo.
For the record, I 100% blame, who is it, NBC? Because Romo year one and two was one of the most lauded of color commenters, and then they said, pull it back, don't be that guy, don't be Mr. Know-It-All, don't be the guy who prognosticates everything, just tell us what happened. And ever since then, Tony Romo's kind of not been that same cat. This is one of the few times I'm going to say, I fully blame the network. You captured lightning in a bottle, and then you said, no, you're taking the drama out of the game, pull it back, and I feel like it hurt Tony Romo more than anybody else.
All right, next thing is not sports related. It is Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin, of course, who showed up at that thing that we talked about him showing up at not too long ago. What? Netflix on Raw.
Wrestling?
I was trying to remember what show it was. I kept thinking it was a PLE for some reason. Macaulay Culkin showed up at Raw on Netflix and got, honestly, maybe the loudest pop of the night.
It was the greatest pop.
Maybe the loudest
That's
pop of the night.
That's not why he's Xing. He's on the cover of some magazine with his girlfriend, wife, fiance. I don't know what the relationship is. Brenda Song. They definitely are intimate.
Sure.
They're kissing. That's why.
Yeah. Or 1990s Macaulay Culkin style. Ooh.
Exactly. All right. And let's see. The last thing that's Xing, because everything else is football related and we basically talked about, is hashtag corn.
Corn's another meal. Corn's another veggie that should immediately go on your barbecue wish list. But again, it is to be eaten on the side as an enhancer, not with the meat as a supplement, because it's not. Okay? Trust old Uncle Rob Brown on this. If there's one thing that Rob Brown knows, it's ball and food.
All right, this had to do with corn exports, but I didn't care about the political or the economical reason. I just wanted to say hashtag corn.
That's fair.
It's
fun. We get to do fun things here.
Strike another goal of my life off the list.
A goal to say hashtag corn?
Yeah.
We got to raise the bar a little bit.
A goal never shows up and you're like, I never knew I wanted to do that until I did it. Yeah.
I didn't know it was a goal until it happened. Goals.
Yeah,
got it.
Exactly.
10-4. 10-4. All right, that's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, don't worry. We're going to come back and try again tomorrow. We'll probably do even better. Have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. For Alonzo, I'm Rob saying bye. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.